Ask Me Again, a novel, by Claire Sestanovich. Read for you by Julia Nippon. For Eddie. What's it worth? In a courtyard behind the hospital, with cold metal benches and leafless trees strangled by Christmas lights, Eva came upon a doctor smoking a cigarette. He sucked on it hungrily. He exhaled out of the side of his mouth and glared at her, defiant, adolescent, as if daring her to point out his hypocrisy. She was the actual adolescent, 16 years old. She could have told him that she enjoyed hypocrisy. No, not in herself. Her own contradictions made her seem strange and ugly, like dressing room mirrors that revealed angles of her face she couldn't usually see. But in other people, inconsistency was interesting, a mark of complexity, maybe maturity. She smiled at the doctor. He crushed the cigarette under his shoe, an elegant pivot with an inelegant sneaker, and went back inside. You weren't supposed to like hospitals, but secretly, Eva did. She liked being close to so many extremes. Birth, death. It was surely the cleanest place she had ever been. Surgeons, she learned, scrubbed their hands for 2 to 6 minutes, all the way up to their elbows. And also the dirtiest. Blood, shit, infectious disease. She timed 6 minutes. It was a long time. People yelled in hospitals, and people whispered. They limped, or they hobbled, or they sprinted from one emergency to the next. She had watched a man fall asleep standing up. There was good news and bad news. Miracles happened, but sometimes, a lot of the time, life simply dealt you a bad hand. Whenever she heard an ambulance approaching, Eva went toward it, not away from it. She stood right next to the automatic doors of the emergency room, longing to cover her ears and willing herself not to. It would have been easy to block the sirens out, but she had recently adopted a new ethic, too new to be violating already. Block nothing out. If she listened long enough, close enough, the wailing of the trucks became an urgent pulse inside her body. While her grandmother slept in a semi-private room, a pale green curtain separating her from a carpenter who'd fallen off a ladder and broken his back, Eva wandered the halls in search of characters. In the basement, radiology, she found a woman in a plastic chair clutching a jagged chunk of rose quartz in each hand. In her lap, a pile of other crystals. Amethyst, obsidian, tiger's eye. On a floor with a view all the way across Central Park, cardiology, she found a man singing union songs while wheeling an IV up and down the hall. Which side are you on? He belted, then hummed, then belted again. Yours, a doctor rushing past assured him. Through an open door in the pediatric wing, she found a toddler wearing a styrofoam helmet. His parents argued loudly while he stared at the television. A soap opera on mute. Abruptly, his mother changed the channel, and a dour newscaster appeared. The child smiled placidly as grim headlines scrolled across the screen. Then there were patients like Eva's grandmother, Adele, who seemed too empty to be characters. Vacant stares in the waiting rooms. Haggard faces in the cafeteria. The elevators were packed with people who didn't want to look at you. But of course, they had stories too. All the more alluring for seeming blank or being hidden. Eva was good at looking for clues. Everything could be a puzzle, which meant that everything could be solved. A man leaned over the water fountain, his gown gaping open to reveal all his moles and liver spots and gummy pink skin tags. And in her head, Eva connected the dots, drawing a constellation across his back. All the sounds in a hospital, she discovered, seemed like codes. The beeping of machines, the squeaking of sneakers on freshly mopped linoleum. They were probably all code for the same thing. Hurry. She brought these characters, these puzzles, back to her parents. She meant it as a kind of comfort.